Blog Talk Radio.
All right, all right, all right. This is Watchman on the Wall. This is End Time Global Link Ministry, the Elder G.E. Bazard out of Warren, Ohio, working down to Atlanta, Georgia on Block Talk Radio. This is coming strong in. I'm here to tell you I'm back for this week. Amen. I'll be on Sunday, amen, at 5 o'clock. Amen. And me and Brother Tim coming out of Texas, we're going to be on discussing the end time, discussing the cross of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, because at the name of Jesus Christ, every knee's going to bow and every tongue is going to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God, whether you believe it or whether you believe it not. Jesus Christ is coming back to this earth. Amen. And when he come back, he's coming back in power and in great glory. But before he comes back to this earth and steps his foot on the top of the Mount of Olives, There is a 7-year tribulation period coming up. It's on the main line. It's coming down the track. The Antichrist is here. It's alive. It's alive. It's going to come on the scene after a while. A few more adjustments has to be made. Amen. And that is the Jews are getting ready to build a temple. Woo, they're getting ready to build a temple, and they're getting ready for the red heifer. They're getting ready to offer sacrifices as they did in the Old Testament. Amen. But it's not going to work. Amen. Jesus Christ is going to permit the Jews to come and preach the last 7 years. He will be using the 144,000 Jews, and he will be using Moses and Elijah in the latter part of the 7-year tribulation. The 7-year tribulation, it consisted of 3.5 years of the first part. And in the middle of the tribulation, there's a second part. The last 3.5 years, it will be coming on the scene after a while. And I'm here to tell you, this is Elder G. Bazard, preaching the unadulterated word of God. And letting you know there's hope for tomorrow. Amen. All the hot weather we're having, all the things that's going on in the world, God is trying to warn humanity. He's trying to warn to humanity. You must prepare yourself to meet your God. Amen. If you don't prepare yourself, then you will have to do something else. And that is, when the rapture of the church appears, when it occurs, those born-again believers, those born-again believers washed in the blood of the Lamb, we'll be caught up to meet the Lord in there. Church membership, it won't get you to heaven. Your money, your fame, your glory, your ingenuity will not get you to heaven. The only way that a man can live with Jesus Christ eternally, the only way that a man or woman can live with Jesus Christ eternally, they must be born again. You got to come to Jesus Christ. You got to repent and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Bible says, thou shalt be saved, S-A-V-E-D. Don't you let nobody fool you. Your church denomination will not get you to glory. Amen. No church denomination will get you to glory. No occults. Religions will get you to heaven. The only way that anybody, that includes me, George E. Bazard, the only way that I can ever live with Jesus, you hear what I said? The only way that I can ever live with Jesus Christ forever is that I have to accept the Son of God. I've got to accept Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. I must accept the burial, the death, and the resurrection, and the suffering of Jesus Christ. And I have to confess with my mouth and believe with my heart that God raised him from the dead. And if I believe that and accept that, the Bible said, thou shalt be saved. Yes, sir. The world is in a mess. The world's in turmoil. The world is confused. The government is all tore up. Amen. There's There's false religions all over the world. There's over, there's over 8,000. Listen to me. 8,000 different kinds of religions in the world today. And none of them, you hear what I said? No denomination can fix a way to seek after God and be born again. The only way, I don't know what I can do, amen, to help you understand this. You can be a pope. You can be a preacher. You can be the bishop of bishops. You can be a millionaire. You can be a billionaire. You can be poor. You can be rich. You can be well-known. You can be a celebrity. You can be a movie star. You can be a football player. You can be a basketball player. You can be an Olympic candidate. You can be all these things in the world. But if you die, if you die without receiving Christ in your life through the cross of Christ, this is the only way that you can receive eternal life of what Jesus Christ done on the cross 2,000 years ago. Christ, let me tell you, Christ died and went to hell. Preached to those in prisons, and on the third day morning he got up out the grave with all power in heaven and earth in his hand, and he's been gone from this planet for 2,000 years, and he's getting ready to come back because the world is living in a turmoil, is living in a state of confusion. The world is looking for Jesus Christ, amen, to delay his coming and to delay judgment and to delay the wrath of God. But God is not going to delay his wrath. He's wooing everybody in now. He wants everyone to accept his son, Jesus Christ. And the world is saying, I don't have time for this. I don't have time for this. I don't have time for church. I don't have time to repent. I don't have time to give my life to Christ right now because I got more important things to do. I don't need this Christ that you're talking about. I don't believe it's necessary for me to repent of my sins and accept the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and go to heaven. I don't believe it, and I don't want to accept it. And that's what the world is saying, because the world has rejected Jesus Christ as Lord of glory, Lord of heaven, Lord of the universe, the Lord of lords and the King of kings. And the world is saying, I don't want to be bothered with that right now. But I got some scriptures up in here to let you know time is winding down. Time is winding down. And I know time is winding down because in the book of 2 Timothy, amen, in the book of 2 Timothy, it reads thusly, and I read it before, and I'm going to read it again to you to let you know we are definitely in the last days, just before the rapture. Are you crazy? That's what people call me. Are you crazy? What is the rapture? What's going to happen before the rapture? What did the Bible say the condition of the world was going to be in the last days? In the book of 2 Timothy, 3rd chapter, Apostle Paul wrote these words, just know also that in the last day, perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetousness, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truth breakers, false accusers, and contentment, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having the form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. for of this sort are they which crept, listen, they crept into houses and lead captivity silly women laden with sin, led always with divers lusts, ever learning and never be able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now our Janies and Jambres withstood Moses. These also resist the truth. Men of corrupt mind, reprobate concerning the faith, but they shall proceed no further, for their folly shall be manifested unto all men. This is the last day time that Apostle Paul was talking about. It says, in the last day which we now live, thus speaking of difficult, dangerous times, which Christians live in just before the rapture will occur. Those who call themselves Christians, and remember, this is describing the end time church. The end time church is known in the book of Revelation, the third chapter, as the church of Laodicea. The Laodicea church is the last end time church and the condition that it would be in. It says, and having a form of godliness refers to all trapping of Christianity, but without power. The modern church, for all practical purpose, has denied the cross. Denied the cross. In doing this, they have denied that through which the Holy Spirit works and in whom the power resides. No half measures are to be adopted here. The command is clear. It means to turn away from churches that deny or ignore the cross. Any church, any synagogue that denies the cross of Christ, you need to be removed from that church and find a church where the church is preaching, save Jesus and him crucified. That they're preaching that Jesus Christ is God Almighty in the flesh, that he came down, he died on Calvary's cross, went down into the grave, and on the third day morning he got up with all power in heaven and earth in his hand. And if that church is not preaching the sanctification of the soul, sanctification of the spirit, and rebuking all unrighteousness and standing for righteousness through Jesus Christ, because at the name of Jesus, every knee is going to bow, every crooked knee, every black knee, every righteous knee, every dirty knee is going to bow and confess that Jesus Christ is the Lord, glory of heaven, and every tongue that confess that Jesus Christ, every crooked tongue, every lying tongue, every dirty tongue, every long tongue, every short tongue is going to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord of glory. Lord of glory means that God himself, God Almighty himself, came down here in a human body. You hear what I said? Jesus Christ became down here in a human body. And who is Jesus Christ? I'll tell you now. I'll tell you tomorrow. I'll tell you after I'm dead and gone from my grave. Jesus Christ is God Almighty, and he suffered for the sins of the world. And the Bible said in the last day church, the church of Laodicea is found in the book of Revelation. And Revelation gives us a picture of the condition of the church would be in the last days, just before the rapture of the church. The church will be in this condition. Let's see what John the Revelator writes. Third chapter of Revelation. Amen, 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 amen. It says in the third chapter, at the church of Laodicea, and to the angel, in other words, into the pastor of the church of Laodicea, write, these things says the amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither hot nor cold, and neither you're cold nor hot. I would ye were cold or hot. So then, because you are lukewarm, neither cold nor hot, I will spew you out of my mouth. This church is a hypocritical church. This church is a church that have a form of godliness, but they don't have the power of the Holy Spirit in their lives. And Jesus Christ said, you ain't cold and you ain't hot. You are lukewarm. That means you're half and half, half and half. You don't know Jesus Christ, but you say you do know him. And the Bible says, you shall know, you shall know, you shall know that you pass from death to life because you love the brothers. If you say you are a born-again believer, baptized with the Holy Ghost, and you say that you know Jesus Christ and you hate your brother, you are a liar and the truth is not in you. How can you say you love God and hate your brother when you have never seen God, but here your brother's right here with you? This is a hypocritical humanist church. Listen to what he said. So then, because you are lukewarm, neither hot, cold or hot, I will spew you out of my mouth. Because you say I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art, listen here, you are wretched. You are wretched because you say you know Christ, but you don't know Christ. You are wretched and miserable. A person that says they know Christ and really have not had a divine relationship with Jesus Christ through his blood, you are miserable. You are poor. You are poor in spirit. You don't have the spirit. If you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus Christ was raised from the dead by the power of God, the Bible says thou shalt be saved. And if you're not saved, but you're professing Christianity, you are poor in the spirit. And then John said that Jesus said you are blind. You are blind as a bat. You are blind towards God. You don't know who God is. You don't know who Christ is. You do things that is not Christian-like. You have that form. You have that form of godliness, but you don't have no power. And that is power is the Holy Ghost. And you're naked. You're stark naked. In other words, not a physical nakedness, but a spiritual nakedness. You are in your sins. You are a sinner. And in the eyesight of God, if you are a sinner, you are naked. Why? Because you have not been clothed. You've not been clothed with the righteousness of God. And the righteousness of God only comes through the blood of Jesus Christ, his suffering, his death. Amen. His burial and his resurrection was done 2,000 years ago. And 2,000 years ago, that means Jesus Christ is about to come back. And he cannot come back until the tribulation period is over. And the tribulation period cannot start until the rapture of the church. The rapture of the church is on the edge of time. We're getting ready to be raptured out of here. Because the Bible said, in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, the dead in Christ shall rise, and we that remain alive shall be called to meet the Lord in the air. Now listen to what this thing says. It says, because you say I'm rich and increase with good, you have need of nothing. And that knoweth not that thou art wretched, miserable, and poor, and blind, and naked. It says here, I counsel you to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that you may be rich, rich in the spirit, rich in serving God, rich in loving God, rich in understanding the things that God wants you to do. And white raiment, that you may be clothed, and that the shame of your nakedness do not appear. The shamefulness of your sins still can be seen if you have not accepted Jesus Christ. If you have not accepted Jesus Christ, you're living in shame. You're living a hypocritical life. You're living an embarrassing life. You don't know who Jesus Christ is. The Bible says you know that you have passed from death to life because you love the brethren. If you don't love your brethren, if you don't have compassion on your brother, if you don't love your brethren, then the Bible says you are a murderer. And you know a murderer does not have eternal life, because the Bible says God is love. God is love. God loves everybody. He loved the blacks. He loved the whites. He loved the Jew. He loved the Puerto Rican. He loved the Russian. He loved everybody, because the Bible said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. Let me tell you, brother, let me tell you, the rapture is on the verge. We are living in rapture zone. We're living in a time when the Lord Jesus Christ is going to descend from heaven and give a call, and the dead in Christ will rise, and we that remain alive shall be caught to meet the Lord in the air. This is the Church of Laodicea. The Church of Laodicea, it says here, anoint thy eyes with eye salves that you may see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. There are some people in this last end time church that is saved. Jesus Christ is telling us them, he said, as many as I love, those Christians that's in amongst of this false church, he said, I rebuke and chasten it. In other words, he's going to chastise you if you don't come out from among them. Amen. Be ye separated, says the Lord. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Behold, I stand at the door. Christ is standing at the door of these cold churches. These churches that's cold. They're so cold that the preacher's name is Dr. Frost. And he's preaching a cold sermon. He's preaching materialism. He's preaching on education. He's preaching on human relations. He's preaching on everything but the cross of Christ. Because without the cross of Christ, without the resurrection of Jesus Christ, without the suffering of Jesus Christ, without the blood that was shed on Calvary's mountain 2,000 years ago, listen to what I'm saying. If Jesus Christ wouldn't have died and came from the grave in 3 days and 3 nights, and the sin up to hell is sitting on the right-hand side of the Father right now, if he didn't do that 2,000 years ago, the whole creation, the whole world, the whole human race would die and go to hell. You hear what I said? If Christ wouldn't have died and suffered on Calvary's cross and came up from the grave 2,000 years ago, if he didn't do that, if he would have skipped that, if he would have deleted that, the whole world would die and go to hell. Thank God Almighty. Thank God for Jesus Christ, because he got up on the third day morning. And when he got up on the third day morning, all powers in heaven and earth is in his hand. And he still rules and reigns. He rules and reigns. And he's coming back to get a church without a spot or wrinkle. And in the book of Revelation, that's where I am, he said, if any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him and he with me. For those that living outside of the ark of safety, those that outside living out of the ark of the salvation that Jesus Christ brought, those that don't know Jesus Christ as their personal savior. Those that still gambling, lying, cheating, backbiting, whoremongering. Those that have a form of godliness but denying the power. Those that hate. Those that are backbiters. Those that despise the love of God. Those that don't have no idea of what it means to be born again. Those that don't have no love for God and love for their fellow man. All the whoremongers and liars and adulterers and cross Christ haters are going to die and go to hell if they don't repent of their sins. Because for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. We're living in that last day, and to him that overcome will I grant to sit with me on my throne. Even as I also overcame, I am set down on my Father's in his throne. And who has ear, let him hear what the Spirit says unto the churches. And now we're living in that age where the men and the religious system is talking about a one-world church, a one-world church is coming on the horizon, and this one world church will come out of the church of Laodicea after the rapture. After the rapture occur, then those that are left here during the time of tribulation, those unregenerated people that said that they knew Jesus Christ will be left here. And by them being left here, they will go into the one world church government. There is a one world church coming. And that one world church was started in 1948. It's called the World Council of Churches, where all churches, religious organizations, were joined together under one umbrella and called themselves Christians, called themselves saints of God, called themselves sanctified one, will be left here after the rapture, because when the rapture comes, only ones are going to heaven are the sanctified ones. And the sanctified ones are sanctified by the blood of Jesus Christ. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. So if a man wants to go to heaven, if a man wants to live with God, if a man wants to live set free from sin, he's got to come to Jesus Christ and be sanctified by faith and believe that the Lord Jesus Christ is the only sacrifice that was made by God Almighty for man to come back to God. And if he reject that plan, he's got to pay for his own sins. You got to pay for your own sins if you die and go to hell. If you reject Jesus Christ, you got to pay for your own sins. And paying for your own sin, that means that you don't have the victory over sin, because a sinful man cannot die for a sin, for his own sin. It took Jesus Christ to die for our sins, who knew no sin, but became sin. And when he became sin, he took our sin and nailed it to the cross. And by nailing it to the cross, he paid the penalty of sin. And the penalty of sin is death. The penalty of sin is death. So if you die, you got to pay penalty for your own sins. That's why Christ came. He came to die in our stead. He come to die for our sins. He come to die for the liar, the backbiter, the race hater, the corrupt men of the earth, whoremongers and liars and drug addicts. He came to die for gamblers and child molesters. He come to die for an adulterer. He came to die for incest. He come to die for every low-down, rotten sin that man and Lucifer could even muster up. He come to die for the low-down, dirty, rotten sinners. Sinners! You're born in sin. You're shaped in iniquity. So was I. So was I. I'm no better than you, but thank God through Jesus Christ, Christ came and took my place on Calvary's cross and paid my penalty for sins. And when I came to him, he set me free that I won't have to die and go to hell. And when he set me free, he set me in a way that, amen, I cannot be lost no more. I cannot lose my salvation. Why? Because he sealed me with the Holy Spirit until the day of redemption. Woo! Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Jesus Christ made the atonement for my sins. And he made the atonement for you. He made the atonement for every human being on this planet. And this is an individual relationship with Jesus Christ. And remember, Christianity is not a religion. Christianity is not a religion. Christianity is not a religion. Christianity is a relationship with Jesus Christ through the blood of a cross, the blood of a cross. No cross, no crown, no shedding blood, no power. Woo, no resurrection, no power. Woo, no ascension. Jesus Christ couldn't have sent back the Holy Ghost on the day of Pentecost for those to be filled with the Holy Ghost and be a witness to the world. And now we're living in the last day. Laodicea Church is almost concluded. There's a few people in Laodicea Church that have received salvation, and Jesus tells them to come out from among them and be ye separated so that you can get in a baptized, born again believer church where they teach the word, preach the word, live the word, and let the world know the return of Jesus Christ is soon to come back. He's soon to come back. Let the world know that only the cross is the only way that a man can get to heaven. Woo! Let the people know at the name of Jesus, every knee is going to bow and every tongue is going to fail. Let the people know that righteousness exalts a nation and sin is a reproach to any people. No! Let the people know, not by power, not by might, but by my spirit, says the Lord God of hosts. Amen. If you're going to be saved, it's got to come by faith, by the blood, through the Spirit. And the Spirit of God is able to saturate your soul and your spirit and call you out of darkness into the marvelous light. In the church of Laodicea, this church is the last church. 2,000 years have already passed. 2,000 years have already passed. The church age is almost over. Look what John says about this church. He says, this is the apostate church. We do not know when it begins, but we do know it has begun. It is the last church addressed by Christ. So that means the rapture will take place very shortly, by contrast to his church, which is not faithful and true. This church is not faithful and true. Jesus is the creator. Jesus is the creator. Jesus is the creator of all things. This characterizes that which is the prevalence at this present time. Half measures won't do. If a person is lukewarm towards something, it means that he hasn't rejected it. But at the same time, he has by no means accepted it. In the mind of God, this timid response is equal to a negative response. Jesus said, I'll spew you out of my mouth. There is no prospect of repentance here on the part of this church. This church is not going to repent. But there's some people inside of this Laodicean church that's going to repent and come out from among them. And they're going to come out from among them when the rapture occurs. God is going to take those that's in this church that have received him. He's going to take them out of this year's church. This church is the Laodicean church, the human church. There's no prospect in repentance here on this part of the church or restoration. In fact, there is a divine rejection. God will reject this church because they have rejected him. They won't come in to acknowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. They equate the increase in material goods with spiritual blessings, which they are not. The tragedy lay in the fact that while this church gloat over material wealth, she was conscious of the spiritual poverty, again, indicative of the modern church. What they needed was to buy, could not be purchased with money, but only with the precious blood of Jesus Christ, which price has already been paid. But the modern church is not interested. They're not interested in salvation. They're not interested in sanctification. They're not interested in the blood of Jesus Christ. They're not interested in the suffering and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. The only thing they want is that to go to church, listen to a few words, and then collect some money, and then talk about all what they don't been through, but they never lift up the name of Jesus Christ. And when they don't lift up the name of Jesus Christ, the Bible says, except Jesus Christ be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto me. And people are not being lifted up because this church will not lift up the blood and the suffering of Jesus Christ and let the world know this is the only way. This is the only way, my friends. I don't care how pretty you look. I don't care how much money you got. I don't care how many children you got. I don't care what big house you're living in. I don't care not about your education. Yes, I do. You better be educated about who Jesus Christ is. I'm concerned about that. Do you know who he is? If you don't know who he is, you better get to know him, because that's the only way that you're going to be delivered during the time of the rapture of the church. They need to buy what they could not purchase with money, which price has already been paid, but the modern church is not interested. Refer to the righteousness of the exclusive of Christ is gained only by faith in Jesus Christ and the cross. This tells us that the Laodicean church, extremely self-righteous, not having the righteousness of Christ, they are naked. I mean, they are naked. They are spiritually walking naked, spiritually, to the judgment of God. The modern church is also spiritually blind, blind as a bat, don't know the way to God, have not experienced the way to God. The only way to God, the only way to God, the only way to God is through Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man can get to the Father but by him. You can't go to heaven by the New Age movement. You can't go to heaven by Buddhism. You can't go to heaven by Judaism. You can't go to heaven by Shintoism. You can't go to heaven by Mormonism. You can't go to heaven by unity. You can't go to heaven by Satanism. You can't go to heaven by Taoism. You can't go to heaven by Lutherans. You can't go to heaven by Christian Scientists. You can't go to heaven by Jehovah's Witness. You can't go to heaven by Nazarene. You can't go to heaven by Islam. You can't go to heaven by the Methodists. You can't go to heaven by the Fashionism. You can't go to heaven by the Catholic. You can't go to heaven by non-denomination. You can't go to heaven by the Church of God. And you can't go to heaven by the Baptist. You can't go to heaven by the KKK. And you can't go to heaven by Nazism. You can't go to heaven by Armstrongism. You can't go to heaven by voodoo. You can't go to heaven by witchcraft. You can't go to heaven by homosexual and lesbianism and incest. You can't go to heaven by apostolic. You can't go to heaven by the Church of God in Christ. You can't go to heaven by Confucianism. You can't go to heaven by humanism. You can't go to heaven until you meet Jesus Christ. You got to know who Jesus Christ is. And the Bible says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God. The same, the beginning with God. Everything was made by him, and without him there's nothing made that is made. And he said, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld the glory of the only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, and that is Jesus Christ. Good God Almighty. How much can I say? Can I say it over again? There's no way. There's no way that anybody on this planet, including me, can get to heaven but by Jesus Christ. The atheists that don't believe in God can't go to heaven. The New Age movement that believe in immorality. We got Buddha, a false god. We got Judaism. Judaism in the Old Testament was instructed by God Almighty. For 3,000 years, the Jews was on Judaism. And Judaism was the law and the sacrifice of animals for a blood sacrifice for the atonement of man's sin. They did that, the Jews did that for 3,000 years. They offered lambs and turtle doves and pigeons and goats and red heifers and bullocks. They took the blood and used it as an atonement for the sins of the people. Yeah, they did that for 3,000 years. But that was all right in the Old Testament times, but it was not going to work in the New Testament times because of blood, good God Almighty, the blood of animals and turtle doves and these different kinds of sacrifice that the Jews was instructing the people to do and the high priest going in to the holies of holies. That was all right in that day and time, but it wasn't going to last too long because it was impossible for the blood of bulls and turtle doves and bullocks and red heifers to take away the sins of the world. Nobody, no animal blood could take away the sins of the world. No blood of turtle doves could take away the sins of the world. And since that was instituted, God was not pleased with it until the time when the fullness of time come. The only way God could get rid of sin and destroy sin in the soul of man. The only way that God had a plan to get rid of sin and destroy sin, and it took the blood of a sinless man. It took the blood of a righteous man. It took the blood of a God man, and that God man was God himself in the flesh, and he became flesh, and God named his own self. He named his own self and named him Jesus Christ, because Jesus Christ is the beginning, and he's the end, and he's the first, and he's the last. And Jesus Christ is God Almighty in the flesh, and it took God's blood in order to him to become flesh, so that he could shed his blood on Calvary's cross. And his blood was sinless. His blood was holy. His blood was righteous. His blood was without sin. Let me stop there a little bit. His blood was without sin. His blood was sinless. His blood was the most powerful blood on the planet, inside the planet, outside of the planet, inside of the universe, and in outside of eternity. His blood was the ultimate sacrifice. God Almighty, God self-existent one, God Elohim, God from eternity, all-powerful God. It took God himself. I can't say this enough. I cannot say this enough. God himself became a man, impregnated Mary with the Holy Ghost, and picked up a body, picked up a blood system, which he had his own blood system. And his blood system was sinless, and the devils in hell know it was sinless. The devils in hell know that the power of the blood of Jesus Christ is going to destroy him. Yes, it is. It's going to cast him into the lake of fire that burns with brimstone. The devil knows the blood of Jesus Christ is the only blood that can save, listen to me, humanity. All right. Jesus' blood is the only blood, because there's three kinds of bloods in the Bible. Man's blood, animal's blood, and the ultimate blood of Jesus Christ. And who is Christ? Christ is God Almighty. And who is God? God is a holy God. God is a righteous God. God hates sin. He hates sin with a passion. He hates sin so much that he, instead of destroying sin, and instead of him to destroy the human race and let everybody go to hell, God hates sin so much, and he knows sin can stop the human race. He knows that if he wouldn't have died on Calvary's cross, the human race, the whole human race would be damned. God knew that. God knew that before the foundations of the world, exactly what Satan was going to do. And Satan, with his beautiful creation, because God spoke him into existence, he was so beautiful that he figured that by his power and that his beauty that he could overthrow God Almighty, and he was the originator of sin, and sin all by himself. He is the originator of sin. God didn't make sin, but God gave Lucifer a choice to be what? His number one archangel, cherubim in heaven, and God made him beautiful. And by his beauty, Satan thought he could overthrow God Almighty and dethrone God Almighty and take over the whole creation. And that was a lie. That was a lie of all lies. Satan, by his own beauty, deceived himself, took one-third of the angels out of heaven, and he was cast out of heaven. And God right now hates the devil. He hates the devil, and the devil hates him. And mankind now hates God, because Satan wants to damn every human being on this planet. He wants to take everybody to hell with him. And the devil hates Christ. He hates Christ on who he is. He hates Christ on what he done. And what Christ done, no other man did it. No other God did it. Only one did it was God and man. Because when Christ came out from the grave, victory is mine. Victory is everyone and anyone that repent of their sins, the low down, dirty stuff that Satan has called man to do against God Almighty. And Satan knows God hates sin. Satan knows that he is damned forever. Satan knows that if he keep you away from the blood of Jesus Christ in repenting and believing in the cross and accepting the cross and adoring the cross and embracing the cross, and if you accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, guess what? He will save your soul from what? Hell. And there is a hell, my friends. There is a real hell. There's a real hell. Hell is real. And anybody can go. The only ones that cannot go to hell. You hear what I said? Now listen. The only ones that cannot go to hell is those that accept Jesus Christ. You can't go. A lot of people say Christians can go to hell. But if you're a true born-again believer, sanctified in the Holy Ghost, God done drew you out of sin and degradation and pitiful and cleansed your heart, your soul, and your spirit, you cannot go to hell because you are a child of God. And God don't put his own Holy Ghost in hell. After you've been saved and sanctified by the blood of Jesus Christ, amen, the blood of Jesus Christ will not suffer in hell. No, no, no. Jesus Christ's blood can save you from hell. And I don't care how big you are, how rich you are, because the Bible got something for those that think they are important, that think because they're in the elite, that think because they got a whole lot of money. Look in the book of Revelation, the sixth chapter of Revelation. Look what the Bible says was going to happen for those that reject Jesus Christ. In the 15th verse, it says, I'm going to go back to the 14th verse. It says, and the heavens departed as a scroll when it is rolled together, and every mountain and island was moved out of their place. And the kings of the earth and the great men and the rich men and the chief captain and the mighty men and every bondman and every free man hid themselves in the dens and in the rocks of the mountain and said to the mountains and rocks, fall on us, hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. When Christ comes back, the rich men of the earth, the elite ones, oh my God, listen to me. What you talking about, the elite ones? Who are the elite ones of the earth? Let's break this down a little further. Amen. Amen. The elite ones are, listen, the elite ones of the earth is about 14 elite secret society that's forming the New World Order and the false church. And these are the elite ones, the captains and the chief captains and mighty men and bondmen and every free man hid themselves in the dens and the rocks of the mountains, saying, rocks and mountains, fall on us, hide us from the one that sitteth on the throne, for the wrath of the Lamb has come. God said, now I'm angry, I'm upset, I'm going to bring judgment upon the wicked men. Listen what it has to say. There's a secret society called the Freemasonry. These are secret societies. These are the elite ones. There's another one called Occultus Deus. There's another one called the New Age Movement. There's the elite called United Nations. There's another one called the Club of Rome. There's another one called the Bohemian Secret Society. There's another one called the Knight Templars. There's another one called the Skull and Bones. There's another one called the Illuminati's. There's another one called the Council of Foreign Relations. There's another one called the Bilderbergs. There's another one called the European Union and the Jesuits. These are the elite men and women of the earth, that they are so rich that they think they are infallible. They think they can't be brought down. But God said, I am the God of the heaven and earth, and nobody is more high than I am. And he says in the sixth chapter of the 14th verse, all those that see Jesus Christ comes in the clouds back, they're going to cry out to the mountains and the hills and the rocks to fall on them. Wicked people don't know nothing about Jesus Christ, have never met him, but they got a religion. This is the book of Revelation, the sixth chapter. The Luciferians, high-class folks, all these secret societies that's on the face of the earth today are under the influence of Satan. Satan got a grip on them. Satan got them believing that there's no God. They believe, Satan got them believing that they don't have to answer to God Almighty. Satan believed that God is not going to do nothing to the wicked men and women of the earth. But in due time, God is going to bring judgment upon the churches. The churches. The churches are suffering judgment right now. Why? Because they are not doing what God wants them to do. And God wants them to what? Preach the gospel. Preach the gospel. Live a sanctified life. Live where God can use you and that you can influence the people of the earth, that there is no other name whereby men can be saved than the name of Jesus Christ. All that Catholicism and all that Buddhism and all that Islam is nothing but trash because they don't serve the true God. They do not honor and lift up the name of Jesus Christ, because when you lift up the name of Jesus Christ and lift up the name of Christ, you're lifting up God's name. That's God's name. And his name is Jesus Christ. Why? Because he is Jesus Christ. When you lift up Jesus Christ, you're lifting up God's name, because that name is above every name. It's above the name of the Pope and the bishops and the Jesuits and the secret society and the Freemasonry. His name is above all these occult religions. And there's over 8,000 religions worldwide. Worldwide, 8,000. There's about 4,472 what? False religions in the United States. People are religious, but they don't have salvation. Religion can take you to hell, because religion is not of God. Fake religion is not of God. True religion comes through Jesus Christ, because when you have a relationship with Jesus Christ, you fill with the Holy Spirit. Now you know how to serve. Religion comes under the act of serving. And since Jesus Christ is not a religion, it's a relationship, but you receive pure religion when you receive Jesus Christ. Because let me tell you, God is pure. God loves the sinner man, but he don't love the sinner man what he does. God loves the sinner man. He come to seek and save those that are lost. Not to save the righteous. He come to save the lost, and there's none righteous. No, not one. When he went down to talk to anybody, he sat down and talked to publicans and sinners and prostitutes and drunkards and liars and haters of God. He talked to them. He didn't go to the big elite. And the Pharisees and the Sadducees were elite people. And then the Gentiles got into it, amen, and they think they're the elite. But there's no elite in God's eyesight, because he has no respect for person. Don't you know God don't care who you are? God cares about your soul. God don't want your car, your plane, your money, your clothes. God wants your soul. And if you don't give Christ your soul, your spirit, and let the blood of Jesus Christ separate you from sin and sanctify your spirit and your soul, and you die, I done told you once before, and you die without Christ, the Bible says you're going to hell. Listen what this says. In the book of Revelation, I'm not reading from no funny book. I'm not reading from no Playboy. I'm not reading from no Jet magazine or Ebony. I'm reading from the Word of God. And the Word of God tells me, amen, exactly who will end up in hell. And it says in the 20, amen. It says here in the book of Revelation, it gives me a picture of who God is telling them who's going to miss heaven. In the 19th chapter, of Revelation 19 verse, and he said, and I saw the beasts and the kings of the earth and their armies gathered together to make war against him that sat on the horse and against his army. And the beast was taken with him, and the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast and them that worshiped his image. These both were cast alive into a lake of fire that burneth with brimstone. These are the ones that during the tribulation, the last part of the tribulation, that will be cast into the lake of fire, burned with brimstone. Those that did what? Those that received the computer chip, either on the back of their hand or on their foreheads. Because if you do receive the computer chip, that means your soul is damned because you have rejected the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And so now you will have to spend eternity. I'll say that again. Eternity in hell. Brother, I can't pet you back. I can't pity pat you. I got to tell you the truth. God loves you. God gave his son for you. God took time out of eternity and came down here and died for you. That through him, you can have eternal life. And the world is rejecting it. The world is saying, I don't want none of that. I am doing fine. I don't want none of that because I want to live my own life and I want God to butt out. I want him to butt out as far as he is. He can go. And you know, God can't go nowhere anyway because he's everywhere and there's nowhere that he can't go because he's everywhere. Now, what do you think about that? So you're bringing judgment on yourself. And the judgment of God is to tell men to let them know. Amen. It says here, amen, beginning of this year, what I'm trying to find, amen. I rebuke the devil right now because he's trying to let me not find what I want to find in the book of Revelation, back in the 21st verse. Amen. Let me get this. Amen. Listen here. I got another one here. In the 22nd chapter, in the 15th verse, it says, without are dogs and sorcerers and whoremongers and murderers and idolaters, whosoever loveth to make it a lie, will not enter in the kingdom of God. They will be cast into outer darkness, where there shall be gnashing and gashing of teeth, day and night, forever. Don't. Brother Bazaar is crying out to you. Brother Bazaar loves you. Brother God is not condemning you. Brother Bazaar wants you to get convicted under the Holy Spirit, that you may come out of sin and out of degradation. And believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, that through him you can what? Receive eternal life. Eternal life. Amen. If you miss this offer, eternal life through the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and you die, ooh, you talking about pain and agony forever and ever and ever. And ever and ever, never able to get out. You can't buy your way out. You can't cry your way out. You can't dig your way out. You'll be cast into the lake of fire, burning with brimstone. Jesus Christ warned us more about hell than he did heaven. But let me tell you, if you miss heaven, you're going to be in a bad shape. And that shape is when you reject God's wonderful plan. Wonderful plan. The best plan that man can ever be offered to. The plan of plans that God made a way for humanity to escape the damnations of hell. He made a way. And that way is the cross. Jesus keep me near the cross. Down at the cross. The old rugged cross. The emblem of suffering and shame. Oh, I love that old cross. Why? Because that's where my sins were forgiven. That's where my sins was washed whiter than snow. That's where I received joy, peace, love. I received eternal life through the cross. Where else can you receive eternal life? Islam don't have nothing for me. Unity. Buddha don't have nothing. Fashionism don't have nothing. Baptists don't have nothing. It's the cross. The apostolic don't have nothing. The lesbian, the homosexual don't have nothing. They ain't got nothing. They don't even take, some of them, denominations believe in the cross. But most of them don't accept that shed blood. They won't accept it. And since they won't accept it, they got to pay. They got to pay for their own sins. And when you have to pay for your own sins, that means that you will spend eternity in a place where if you miss heaven, you go to hell, you're going to wish. You're going to wish that you never, never was born. And the world today is saying, I care less about my soul. Men today don't care nothing about their soul. And your soul is the only thing you got. You ain't got nothing else. It is precious. It's unique in the eyesight of God because that soul comes from him. And since it comes from him, he wants it back because Satan stole the souls of men in the Garden of Eden. Because every man that was ever born was born lost. Nobody was born found. No baby was born coming on this planet singing Amazing Grace. Because men are born and shaped in the iniquity of my mother received me. The question was, been answered down through eternity. Where do babies go when they die? Before they receive accountability, they have their damning nature of Adam, sin. But when Christ died on the cross, he died for the Adamic nature of Adam. And that baby had the Adamic nature of Adam. Christ died. So when a baby dies, if it dies at birth, it's been aborted. It will have a place in heaven because it's covered by the blood until the age of accountability. And the world today is killing 62 million babies. 62 million babies a year. The government is permitting it. That they cut the babies out of the mother's womb at 8 months and use it for scientific experiments. The pornography, child pornography has been used around the world in the government, taking young children and babies and using them for sex symbols and selling young children and killing them and offering them sacrifices to Moloch gods and false and Satanism. God is saying, I got those babies covered. And the ones that permit, the ones that are participating in such abomination of murdering and killing babies, guess what? They're going to answer before the judgment of God Almighty if they don't repent. If they don't repent of their sins, they're going to pay for it. Look at the drug addicts, people selling drugs, killing each other for drugs. The world is in a mess. Church folks participating in worldly activity. Men and preachers and deacons and sisters are still fooling around with God's mercy and his grace. Still believing that you can live a double standard life or a hypocrite and go to heaven. Well, I'm going to tell you something. If you haven't been born again, you're going to hell. That's Bible. The Bible says whoremongers and adulterers and liars are going to end up in a place where judgment will be tormenting them. Thank God for Christ. Because in the book of Revelation, it says the only ones that's going to come over and have the victory are those that have been washed in the blood of the Lamb. If you haven't been washed in the blood of the Lamb, you are going to pay. And he said, he that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But the fearful and the unbelieving, people who don't believe in nothing, don't believe in God, don't believe in the resurrection, don't believe that the Bible was written by the inspiration of God, don't believe in sanctity of marriage, don't believe in nothing when it comes to holiness, the unbelieving, the fearful, the abominable, the murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers, drug addicts, the idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake. Not Lake Erie, not Lake Huron, not Lake Houston, not lake, not that lake, a lake of fire which burns with brimstone, which is the second death. Oh, my God. Lord have mercy. Don't you understand what I'm trying to put out to you? Amen. Christ is soon to come. But before he come, he has to remove his church. When he remove his church, it's going to be in the twinkling of an eye, in a split second. The nations of the world is going to experience a evacuation from one continent to another continent, from South America, North America, China, Russia, Pakistan, Turkey, Middle East, Mexico, United States. There's going to be a great evacuation where millions of people will be rapidly excommunicated to the presence of God in the glories of heaven, and those that's left here will have to face the Antichrist. I want to let you know right now, the Antichrist is alive, walking on the face of this earth right now, and he cannot come on the scene until the rapture of the church. And the rapture of the church cannot happen until the Jews prepare to build a temple and sign an Abrahamic accord and get the two red heifers and get the Ark of the Covenant and get all the utensils for the rebuilding of the temple. But when you start hearing that the Jews are going to start building the temple and get the red heifer, you better look up, for your redemption is drawing now. Because God owes the Jews something. The God of Abraham, the God of Jacob, and the God of Bazaar. Hallelujah. That's my God. That's my Savior. That's my shelter in the time of storm. That's my shepherd. He's my God when he can be your Lord. But don't you know God owes the Jews 7 years? 7 years is missing out of the 490 years that God promised that he would deal with the Jewish people. And God's been dealing with the Jewish people all the way up from 440 BC all the way up to 33 AD when he came riding through Jerusalem on the coat of an ass. Don't you know Jesus Christ was dealing with the Jewish people for 483 years and at the cross the Jewish nation was cut off. They were cut off 7 years short. 7 years short. 7 years short. So God Almighty still owed the Jews 7 years to deal with them. And the fulfillment of that is getting ready to take place. Because the Jews now are planning to rebuild the temple, planning to start up the old sacrificial offering, and that's not going to work. But God is going to permit them to do it to prove to them that their Messiah is already came, died, and rose again and getting ready to come back to earth. But they don't believe that the Christ that died on Calvary's cross was the true Christ. So now, the devil says, I am going to fool the world. I'm going to fool the world. I'm going to try to fool the Jews, and I'm going to fool the Gentile nations. I'm going to fool them. I'm going to trick them. I'm going to do the greatest con that I ever done. I'm going to con the whole human race and believing when this Antichrist man comes, I'm going to have the world believing that this man is actually Jesus Christ. And this man cannot, ain't no way that this Antichrist can be the true Christ. So Satan said, I'm going to imitate God Almighty because I always wanted to be like him. I wanted to go above the heavens like him. I want to sit on the throne like him. I want to have a church like him. But the devil is a liar and the truth is not him. He's going to have a fake church with fake people that believe in his fake lies. And guess what he's going to do? And he can't do it until the rapture of the church is going to happen. And when it happened, the Jews are going to let the world know we believe that this Antichrist is coming, is Christ, and they're going to sign a Abraham covenant with him. Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. And this Abraham covenant is going to be signed. And when he signs it, guess what? They tell me the Antichrist is going to make a covenant with them for 7 years to protect them and let them build the temple. And the Jews are going to believe, and the Satan is going to try to get them to believe that this is the true Christ. And the Gentile nations will join in and say, yes, he is finally here. Jesus is here on the earth. And Jesus told us and told the Jews. He told the Jews and the Pharisees and the Sadducees, if a man comes in his own name, y'all will believe that he is Christ. But I come in my Father's name, and y'all won't believe me. And this Antichrist is going to come in his own name, and the world is going to accept it. And the first 3.5 years are going to be a false hope and a false peace. And they're going to believe that this man is actually Jesus Christ. And he's going to rule and reign this earth for 7 years. And the 7 years belong to the Jewish people. This is the last 7 years that will complete the 490 years that God promised Abraham and promised the prophets and promised the seers that he would deal with them the last 7 years to do the last mission that they were supposed to do in the Old Testament, and that is to be a witness for me in the earth. I want Israel to be a witness for me and let the world know that this is my chosen nation in which the Holy Scriptures was written, and which the Messiah came through the Jewish nation, and which the nation that would be an example to the all other nations, that there's only one true, living, authentic God, Yahweh, Elohim, Jehovah, self-existent one. He can make the thunder roar. He can clap the lightning. He can hold the sea in his hand. He can clap his hand and stars or sparks will fly from his hand. He can speak and things can appear. He can speak again and things will disappear. He is God all by himself. Don't need nobody else. And in fact, I want to tell you something. God don't need me. I need God every day. Every minute, every second, every hour. This Antichrist will come during the 7 year tribulation. There has been seven church ages that have a past, present, present, and future. The seven church ages include Ephesus. It includes Smyrna. It includes Pergamos. It includes Thyatira. It includes Sardis. It includes Philadelphia. It includes Laodicea. And Laodicea is the last church age. And out of those seven churches, only two was on fire for God. And that was Smyrna and the church of Philadelphia. Brotherly love, the end time church, because Philadelphia means evangelistic. And the world is being evangelized right now under the Philadelphia church. The gospel is being preached from the four corners of the earth. But during the tribulation period, after the church has been raptured up, after the trumps have been sounded, after the dead in Christ will get up out the grave, after those that remain alive shall be caught up to meet the Lord in the air, they tell me there won't be one person up on this earth that will be able to preach the gospel until God anoints the 12 tribe of Israel. And the 12 tribe of Israel, after the church is gone, God will send 144,000 witnesses. Not Jehovah, not the Baptist, not the Catholic, not the Presbyterian. No denomination or no occult will have any deal with this, because this is God's hand. This is God's job. This is God's power. He's going to anoint 144,000 Jewish remnant, and he's going to name them by the tribes. And the name of the tribes that I'm going to give you right now that's going to be preaching the gospel of the kingdom during the what? The seven-year tribulation, because God is going to deal with the Jews now. He's through with the church. The church is in heaven at this time. The church is in heaven at this time that the Jews preach on earth, because Israel and the church will not be here at the same time on the earth preaching the gospel, because the church age is gone. It's done. The last church age, Laodicea. After you see that, you see in the fourth chapter of Revelation, John said, I saw a door open, and immediately I was caught in the spirit. That's the rapture of the church. God knows it is. I know it is. So when God raptures the church, he's going back to the Jew, back to Israel, and he's going to name the 12 tribes of Israel. These tribes is known as the tribe of Judah, 12,000, the tribe of Reuben, 12,000, the tribe of Gad, tribe of Asher, 12,000, the tribe of Nephilim, 12,000, tribe of Manasseh, 12,000, tribe of Simeon, 12,000, tribe of Levi, 12,000, tribe of Issachar, 12,000, tribe of Zebulun, 12,000, tribe of Joseph, 12,000, tribe of Benjamin, 12,000. In the beginning of the seven-year tribulation, God is going to send 144,000 Jews anointed preaching the gospel of the kingdom. And guess what? The gospel will be preached, because by the Holy Spirit and the Holy God, he's going to do what? He's going to make sure that these Jews are worldwide seen. Worldwide. The whole world is going to see and hear and experience the power of the gospel through the Jewish people. God is going to let the Jews loose, 12,000 from each tribe, and they are going to preach the gospel for how long? 3.5 years. 3.5 years. They're going to preach day and night, 52 weeks, 12 months, every day for 3.5 years, from January to December, from January to December, from January to December, from January to March, 3.5 years. They're going to preach. The Jews are going to fulfill the last 7 years of the tribulation period. It's going to be so powerful that Facebook, Instagram, all the networks, all the TV networks, all the internet networks will have to broadcast this because it's going to be worldwide. They are going to witness the greatest revival that ever struck this planet. The greatest revival that ever struck this planet. And the Jews are going to bring it on. They're going to bring it on like God said, I told you. I'm not through with you yet. It's going to be more awesome than the day of Pentecost. And the day of Pentecost was awesome. The Holy Ghost came down and filled them Jews, and they came outside preaching the gospel, telling them that Jesus Christ, the one that you hung on Calvary's cross, got up from the grave, and we persecuted him. They tell me 3,000 souls were saved in that one day. Now, how do you feel when 144,000 is going to be preaching for 3.5 years? They ain't going to be able to shut down the internet. They're going to see it from coast to coast, from the north to the south, and the south to the north. It's going to be dynamite. The devil is going to be blasted wide open. And when these 144,000 get through preaching, when their mission is over, they're going to be redeemed from the earth. Because God said, I'm through with that mission. That's the first mission. 3.5 years. And you say, well, did that mission have an effect? Yes, it did. It had an effect up on the population of the earth. The population of the earth heard that gospel for 3.5 years. And John the Revelator, 9th. Verse, the 7th chapter, he said, after this, after what? After the 144,000 was removed from the earth and they got through with their mission, he said, I saw a great multitude which no man could number of all nations. Racial discrimination is done. And all kindred and all people and tongues stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes and palms in their hand. This is the tribulation saints. These are the saints that got saved after the rapture of the church. These are the people that heard that for 3.5 years, 42 months, 1,260 days, times and times and dividing times, meaning the 3.5 years and different times. 42 months equals 3.5 years. 3.5 years equals 1,260 days. They will be preached. A number of people receive Christ during this 3.5 years. And listen what it says. And people and tongues stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes and palms in their hands, and cried out with a loud voice, saying, salvation to our God, which sitteth upon the throne, and to the Lamb. And all the angels stood about the throne, and about the elders and the 24, about the elders and the four beasts, and fell before the throne on their faces and worship God, saying, amen, blessed and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen. And one of the elders said and answered, saying unto me, what are these which are arrayed in white robes, and whence did they come? And I said unto him, sir, thou knowest. And he said unto me, these are they which came out of great tribulation and have washed their robes and made them white. In what? In the blood of the Lamb of God. These people got to heaven. Why? Because they believed on the Lord Jesus Christ under the preaching of the 144,000 Jews. And when they accepted Jesus Christ, they were washed in the blood. Now they're saying in heaven, the blood of Jesus Christ has made their robe whiter than snow. That is their soul. They were delivered from sin. So the Jews are going to close the tribulation period in charge. The Jews will be in charge. After the 144,000 is done with their mission, the devil's going to be raising hell trying to prevent from this to go on. And after the 144,000 is done with their mission, the Lord God said, I ain't through yet. I got two more dynamites to come on the scene. I got two more prophets to come on the scene in the latter part of the tribulation period, the last 3.5 years, in which the devil will take full control of earth. You hear what I said? I said the devil will take full control of the political government, the religious government, the economic government, all the governments of the world. Satan will have in full control. And out of those government, people still will be getting saved by the blood of Jesus Christ. 22 chapters in Revelation. 3.5 years is fulfilled at the 11th chapter. The 11th chapter, after 144,000 get through, the 11th chapter say, I've seen the temple. Get ready to be measured. They get ready to build the temple. And he said, I got two prophets to come to preach the gospel for the next 3.5 years. The next 3.5 years, will the gospel of the kingdom will be preached by Moses and Elijah. How do you know, Brother Bazaar? Because the Bible told me so. There's two prophets to come on the scene that had power enough in the Old Testament times to do miracles. And there's two prophets in the Old Testament that did not fulfill their ministry, the same men. There's two prophets in the Old Testament that had power enough to shut up heaven that it would not rain for 3.5 years. And there's a prophet that's in the Old Testament that had power enough to bring plagues and turn water to blood for 3.5 years. And these two prophets will come back on the scene and stand in the streets of Jerusalem and preach the gospel for 3.5 years and never get tired. They'll be preaching for January, February, March, April, May, June, July, August, September, October, November, December, for 3.5 years. And the world will witness it around the world. And you want to know how serious God is? God is so serious in saving all that he can that he's going to send three angels to fly across the world and preach the everlasting gospel, and to warn men and women and boys and girls not to receive the mark of the beast. For if they do, their soul will be down. He's going to send three angels in the last 3.5 years to preach with the prophets. Well, who are the prophets? The two prophets that's coming back on the scene are the two prophets that didn't fulfill their ministry, and that is Moses and Elijah. Moses did not enter the land flung with milk and honey. He was born. He was buried at the foot of Mount Nebo. Elijah ran away from Jezebel and didn't fulfill his ministry. He got so depressed that he said, Lord, will you take me? I'm almost about to have a nervous breakdown. Jezebel is what? Is on my trail because I slew, I killed, I cut off 450 prophets' heads and dropped them in the Mediterranean Sea because they were preaching false doctrine. They were preaching from every god on the face of the earth right now, every false god. God is going to do the same thing. He's going to cut down every false god that men and people are worshiping today. They're worshiping themselves. They're worshiping their car. They're worshiping their husband. They're worshiping sex. They're worshiping drugs. They're worshiping gambling. God is going to cut down all those that's in idolatryism. These two men have power enough to do what? Moses had power enough to turn water to blood. Elijah had power enough to pray that he would not rain for 3.5 years, and this is going to happen again because when they come on the scene, they're going to bring a curse upon the world for the rebellion of mankind against a holy God. You don't want to be there. You won't want to be there, and that's going to last for 3.5 years. That's going to conclude the 7-year tribulation. And that ain't all that's going to happen in tribulation. There's a whole lot of, there's 7 judges, there's 7 seals, 7 bowls, 7 plagues, and 7 trumpets, and 7 claps of thunder. 28 judgments going to fall on this planet. Why? Because God said it's appointed once for man to die, and after death, it will be the judgment of God Almighty. And many people there laughing and joking and partying and ignoring everything. And God already warned us through the coronavirus. What not but a monkey circus. It was a circus that the devil geared up because the coronavirus is a setup for the mark of the beast. That's what it is. Because the government now is trying to demand people to take the shot. If you don't take the shot, you can't do business. You can't go certain places. So when the mark of the beast comes, it will melt right on in to the coronavirus to say, if you want to eat, drink, and go to the bank, if you want to do certain things, if you want to buy and sell, you got to receive the mark of the beast. Otherwise, you cannot receive it. And they're already trying to mandate the shot for the coronavirus. Otherwise, you won't be able to participate in this society. So where we at? We at the end time. Christ is not going to let the church go through the tribulation period. Let me fix that for you. I said Jesus Christ is not going to let the church, the body of Christ, go through the tribulation. Why not? The church already, 2,000 years. 2,000 years of suffering for the cause of Christ. Now it's time for Israel to take charge of preaching the last 7 years. And God says it's going to happen. And if I say it's not going to happen, I'm a liar. Because the word is true. The Bible said, let man be a liar, but let God be true, because every man is a liar, but God is true to his word. The church will not go through the tribulation period. The only ones that are going to be raptured are born-again ties believers. Those that have accepted the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And there are saved people around the world. Saved people in the mental institution. Saved people in prisons. Saved people everywhere. Very few, but number one, they saved. Because the Bible said, broad is the way that leadeth into destruction, and many go in thereat. For straight is the gate, narrow is the way that leadeth to life, and very few will find it. Hell will be full. Heaven will be full. Let me tell you something you just don't know. Yes, a lot of people are going to hell, but let me tell you, heaven is not going to be empty. And if you read your Bible, you will find out that heaven is going to be a big place. It's going to be 1,500 miles high, the city. It's going to be 1,500 miles high, 1,500 miles long, 1,500 miles wide. And if you could put a population inside of heaven, inside that golden city, that city that sparkles like a diamond in the sky, this city that's coming down out of heaven, this city that when it is populated, it will be able to hold 53 billion people. Plus, 53 billion people of all nationality and kindreds and tongues and nations will be populated in that city. 53 billion. Right now, there are about 7.1 billion people on the planet. Take 7 and divide into 53 billion. You got nine times 53 billion people. Woo! Heaven is going to be absolutely wonderful. Heaven will come down out of heaven and set on this earth. After the millennium is over. When Christ comes back in the clouds in the 19th chapter of Revelation, he will come back in clouds and in power and in glory. He will come back when the sky will roll back like a scroll, and Christ is come riding on a white horse, and the church, oh, good God Almighty, listen, and the church, ooh, yes, indeed, and the church will be riding with him. You hear what I said? And we will rule and reign on this earth for 1,000 years, and the devil will be put in the bottomless pit and locked up for 1,000 years, and God is going to reevaluate the earth. And there won't be no more war, no more race war, no more killing, no more police stations, no more prisons, no more. The only sin that man would deal with during the millennium reign is unbelief, because Jesus Christ is going to rule in the millennium reign with a rod of iron. In other words, judgment will be executed quickly if anybody tried to do anything wrong. And the world is going to be repopulated with those that came through the tribulation period in their natural bodies. And they're going to replenish the earth for the last time for 1,000 years. Men will be able to live 800, 700, 500, 900. And repopulate the earth, because there's one sin man is going to be blamed for. And that is a sin of unbelief. Because Christ is going to be here on earth. He's going to rule and reign. People are going to repopulate earth in their natural body. Children are going to grow up and have children. And they tell me they're going to be able to witness Jesus Christ from the time they were born until the time they die. They're going to see the nail prints in his hand. They're going to see the scars. It's going to be reviewed. It's going to be talked about. And still, yet, after Satan has been shut up for 1,000 years, he's going to be set loose again. And those that seen Jesus, talk with Jesus, touch Jesus, they're going to rebel again. Showing you one sin you can't blame on the devil, and that's the sin of unbelief. Showing you that man is totally depraved. Woo! God gave his only son and let him be slaughtered. Hung him on a tree, cross, nailed him to a piece of timber, and hung him high. God Almighty took the price and paid the price. They beat him beyond his recognition. You wouldn't be able to look up on him if you saw him hanging there. They shredded his back and opened up until you could see the muscles and ripped. Can I say this? Ripped him up like a piece of hamburger, because Isaiah said he was led to the slaughter like a dumb lamb. Like a dumb lamb. And he did it for me. He did it for you. That you wouldn't have to die in your sin and go to hell. He did that for you. And what he asked for you to do is to repent from your sins and fall on your sin-bending knees and ask the Lord to have mercy on my soul. Save my soul from the flames of hell. Please, Lord, please save my soul. Lord, I've been going around here talking about I'm a Christian, and I know I ain't no Christian. I'm just trying to fool folks. I'm doing the same old thing I've been doing years ago. My mind hasn't been changed. I still got that old same hatred. If you say you love God and you hate white folks, you hate black folks, you hate Jews, you hate this, if you say that, you are a liar. And the truth is not in. You got to love people with God's love. You can't love people with your love. You ain't got none. But you got to love people with God's love. Like God put up with your foolishness and your craziness and your self-righteousness. He put up with you and he loved you until you finally opened up your heart and let him in. Now you know that if he loved you so much, you got to love your fellow man, because you ain't no better than your fellow man. Good God Almighty. Can't you see what I'm trying to tell you? Yes, I want you to go to church. Yes, I want you to participate in a productive soul-saving program. Yes, I want you to do that. But most of all, I want you to be sure that when you die, if something would happen to you tomorrow, that you know where you would go. If three people know where you're going, the devil knows where you're going, God knows where you're going, and you should know where you're going. Because Paul said, St. John said, I know I pass from death to life. I know I'm saved, and I know I pass from death to life because what? Because I love my brothers. I love my enemies. I love those that despitefully use you and accuse. I love them with God's love. Because love draws people. Ooh, good God Almighty. Love draws people. The reason the churches can't get nobody saved anymore, know how to save get people saved and accept Jesus Christ, they don't have no love. They don't have no love. They may say, I like you, but like ain't in the Bible. The Bible didn't tell us to like nobody. He said, love ye one another as I have loved you. And that's why you're here today. You're still alive because God loved you. Because if he didn't love you, if he was tired of you, if he was weary of it, he would just get you out the way and wipe you off the face of the earth. And he can do it. But he loved you so much. He don't want to see nobody. God is the only God that don't want to see nobody go to hell for their sin. When God done told you through his son Jesus Christ, let me take your punishment. Let me die for you. Let me be whipped for you. Let me be ridiculed for you. Let me be ostracized and embarrassed for you. Let me shed my blood on a tree in the hand. Let me hang for 6 long hours. Let me be nailed to a piece of wood. Let me stretch my hand from the east to the west, and let me drop my head between the locks of my shoulder and say, it is finished. Let me go to hell for you and take the key from the devil of hell, death, hell, and the grave. Let me, this is what God is saying, let me come up on the third day morning and I can say, I got all power in heaven and earth in my hand. Yeah. Let me stay on the earth for 40 days and 40 nights to prove that I'm the Lord of heaven. Let me go back to heaven and send you a comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, that you could be a witness for me from the uttermost parts of the earth. Yeah, that's what I want to do for you. Let me come back again and take you from this rugged planet where sin has ripped it apart. Let me bring you to a place where you can say howdy, howdy, and never goodbye. Let me give you a mansion in my Father's house. Yeah, let me save you from sin, death, hell, and the grave. Let me do what I came to do. And I came to seek and save those that are lost. I come to be your shelter, your bread, and your water. Let me take you from the cradle to the grave. Oh, if you let me do that, then one day when you stand before the judgment seat of Christ, when you see Jesus face to face and you get your reward, let me say, you've been faithful over a few things. Let me tell you, you've been faithful over a few things. I won't let you be a rewarder of many. Let me let you walk the streets of gold. My God, you mean to tell me God won't give me all that? Yes, if you believe on it. Isaiah said God got things for those that the eyes have never seen, the ears have never heard, nor entered into man's heart, that God prepared for them that love him. I can't even contain, comprehend all that God has for me. And he got it for you if you want it. Oh, a lot of people say, I don't want it. I want my alcohol. I want my drinking. I want my partying. I want my women. I want my money. I want everything that what the world can give me. And Jesus said, what profit a man to gain a whole round world and lose his soul? My friend, I cry my heart out. Whatever you do, don't go to hell, please. Don't die without Jesus. Don't let the devil steal your joy Don't let the devil fool you and think there is no power in the cross. While there's power in the blood of Jesus Christ.
Oh,
there's power to change your life and make you a new creature. There's power to lay down them drugs and lay down that whoremongering spirit. Lay down the lying and the cheating and the backbiting that you've done. Come on now. Come on. You got to run this race with patience. You got to forsake your mother, your brother, your sister, your aunt and uncles. Take up your cross and follow him. Because if you follow Jesus through the Holy Spirit, I guarantee you, if you give your life to him, you won't be sorry. Why? Because his love will last forever. His love is everlasting love. His love, I can't comprehend his love, because his love is stronger than hate. His love is everlasting. And one thing about heaven, you're going to have before you can live in heaven, and that is the love of God. Faith is all right, but faith you don't need in heaven. Hope you ain't going to need in heaven, because why do you have to hope when you know what you see and what you get? One thing you're going to have is the love of God. This is Elder G. Bazaar coming to you from Watchmen on the Wall, End Time Radio Ministry. Take what God has given me this afternoon, this evening. Please, listen to me. Listen to me. It's simple. Repentance means to be broken up with a contrite spirit. You're sorry that you have sinned against a holy God. You're sorry and have a broken heart, the thing that you have done against the holy God. And you're willing enough to turn from your wicked, idolatrous ways and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, that he died for your sins. And you confess with your mouth and believe with your heart that God Almighty raised Jesus Christ from the dead. And through that confession, salvation may come through repentance of your sins and believing in your heart. For God so loved you so much, he gave you all that he had. He ain't got no more sons. He ain't got no more way of salvation to save you. Once and for all, he did it. Don't miss it. Come to Jesus. Come to Jesus. Just now. If you come to Jesus, guess what? He will save you from your sins. He will give you the desires of your heart.
Her coverage is coming up short. Upgrade to Interceptor Plus.
Suffering.